Amen. I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, please. Here in Acts chapter 13, we have the Apostle Paul's first missionary journey. And in light of our commissioning this morning, just a little reminder concerning what the commissioning of a missionary is all about. Note here in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Let's read Acts chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, and then we will pray. And there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manoan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Let's pray. O God, we thank you for this day. We are grateful for this opportunity to worship. We are privileged and honored to be a part of the commissioning of the Herrington family, formally to return to the field of Mauritius in service for your glory. So we pray, O God, that you would teach us this morning, encourage us, equip us to be that support that we need to be as your children walk in obedience to your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. Let's note from Acts chapter 13, verses 1, all the way through to verse number 12, some principles on commissioning servants for God's work to fulfill a particular task. The first point I want to stress that is evident within this passage of Scripture, we see the commitment of the missionary. We see the commitment of the missionary. We note here in verse number 1 that the men that are mentioned here are all actively involved within their home church. They are serving God in the presence. And from their present service, God calls them on. They are holding main leadership positions, and it's obvious that the men that are mentioned here, that includes Barnabas and Saul, are heavily involved. They are heavily involved in the preaching and teaching ministry of this church there in Antioch. The Bible teaches us, "He that is faithful in little shall be faithful in much." And we are thankful for the example of the Herrington family, that they've been faithful in the little things. They've kept themselves busy. Their last post in Queen Beanne, serving the Lord, waiting upon God, continuing to move forward. And see, this is how God works. God doesn't take a sloth and use a sloth for his glory. God takes individuals that are on the move, that are serving God right where they are at. "He that is faithful in little shall be faithful in much." Before David became king of Israel, he was committed to caring for sheep under his father's authority. God always calls active people to be involved in a greater work. And this is what we see here in the book of Acts, chapter 13, concerning the commitment of the missionary, active involvement. And it's within that active involvement in serving God, then God moves Barnabas and Saul on to the next chapter. And I'd like to encourage you, as the new year stands before us, church family, be faithful in the little things. You can aspire to one day to be a missionary, and that's wonderful. But be prepared to serve God in the little areas. Be prepared to serve God in teaching a Sunday school class, or ushering, or morning tea, or the nursery, because God uses active people for His service. If you are not faithful in the little things, I doubt God will call you to greater things. So we see here that Barnabas and Saul are committed there within that local church. And as they are faithfully serving within the church at Antioch, the call comes for them to leave and become full-time missionaries. So we see active involvement. We also note here in verse number 2 as well that there was focus. The focus was upon serving. Note there in verse number 2 it reads, as they ministered to the Lord. They were not only involved in serving God, they understood their position as servants. The greater the position, the greater the level of service. Jesus Christ said, "He that is greatest among you is servant of all." And as the Harrington family prepare to leave for Mauritius full time, permanently, until God's next posting, and God always has His will for each of our lives, but until that day, God calls the Harrington family to serve, not just to fulfill a position. I think of Joshua of old, who was known as a servant. I think of Elisha of old, that was prepared to serve. And may the words of the Lord Jesus Christ sound continually in each of our minds: "He that is greatest among you shall be servant of all." And as the Harrington family leave for the field of Mauritius, they are going to serve. Not to be served, but to serve. And beloved, this is our calling. We are called to be involved in God's work. We are called to serve. We also note that within the commissioning of these missionaries, that these men, Barnabas and Saul, were involved with others. The Bible mentions a number of other individuals that were involved in teaching within the local church. There were other preachers. No doubt this church was a very large ministry, and therefore that entailed a number of preachers. So Barnabas and Saul worked alongside others. I'd like to charge you, Brother James and Cindy, that as you return to the field of Mauritius, that you will be mindful that you cannot serve alone, that you need to build a team. Teamwork makes the dream work, an old Chinese proverb. Strive to build a team at the Truth Baptist Church. Don't try to do it all on your own. And be prepared to work with others. Don't be insecure, feeling that you know best. Well, you might, but that's not the point. The point is we need to get others involved. And the church is likened to a body, church family, and I'd like to encourage you as the year stands before us that we work together as a team. We are not an island unto ourselves. We are part of a greater picture. And we see that Barnabas and Saul ministered amongst others. They were willing to serve. They were faithful within their local church. And it's from that basis we read of their calling in the second verse, where the Bible teaches us, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So we see the commitment of Barnabas and Saul. And I'd like to encourage you this morning, child of God, the importance of being committed for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is worthy of our commitment. He is worthy of 110%. Some of you have not been committed. The year 2022 has passed. This is the new year. I charge you, be committed in 2023. Some of you have done no more than just warm a pew in 2022. You know who you are, and I challenge you to serve God in 2023. Because Jesus Christ is coming again. And if you are not actively involved in serving God, you will stand ashamed in His glorious presence. See, this group of men were actively involved in serving. "Oh, but Pastor, I'm too busy to serve God." Then you're too busy. Get your priorities right. Get your priorities right. My Bible teaches me, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." "Oh, but Pastor, my job is too demanding." Get another job. "Oh, Pastor, I've got to work all of this overtime to pay the bills." Get another job that pays more. That's what the old Italians would do. If this bloke over here is paying them $10 an hour and this bloke over here is paying them $20 an hour and the $20 an hour is sweeping streets and the $10 an hour is pushing a pen, a wise Italian would say, "I'm going to sweep streets and earn $20 an hour." That's common sense. More so for you and I as Bible-believing Christians, if our commitment is to serve Jesus Christ, God gives us well-being to serve Jesus Christ, then do what you need to do so you can serve Jesus Christ. It's up to you. You don't live in a communist country. This is Australia. You can make choices. Make biblical choices. And we see that Barnabas and Saul were willing to commit themselves to service. We see that they were called from a context of active involvement. They were actively involved in the church at Antioch. The Bible teaches us in verse number 1, there were in the church that was at Antioch. They were not lone rangers. They were part of a team. They were actively involved in the local church. Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And during their active involvement within the local church, the Holy Spirit calls Barnabas and Saul to another ministry. See, God calls active people into active service. And we note that this calling was very personal. Note there in verse number 2, the Bible reads, "The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul." The call was personal. And so likewise, God calls you and I personally to serve Him. It might be in a different field. It might be amongst different individuals. But God has a calling upon each of our lives. God wants to use you. God wants to use me. Please don't have the mindset, "Well, Oh, the Herringtons, they're so privileged. They're so lucky that they're called to be a missionary. That's nonsense. Because all of us are called. All of us are called to serve Him. It might not be Mauritius. It might be right here and now within your local church. And while Barnabas and Saul were actively involved within the local church, God called them personally. See, it wasn't anyone outside of God that confirmed to Brother James, return to Mauritius. Am I correct? So we're just simply jumping on board and helping and encouraging the Surettes to do what God's called them to do. And let me let you in a secret. If you will serve God, we'll jump on board and help you as well. The calling was personal. It's been well said the local church is a transforming station into Christ's image by the teaching of the Word of God. The local church is a training station where you can serve and be equipped. But also the local church should be a transfer station where individuals are sent out for the work of God. The call was personal, and it was a call to a specific task. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. In Romans chapter 12, it teaches us very clearly that if you and I are to have understanding concerning His will, that we need to present our bodies as living sacrifices. I beseech you therefore, brethren, Romans 12:1, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's the least we can do. God has given His all for you and I. What is it for you and I to give our lives over to Him when He has given His all? And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Word of God, that you may prove, have the affirmation, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God called personally Barnabas and Saul to this ministry. And so likewise, God has a calling upon your life. God has a calling upon my life. So we see their commissioning. Within that commissioning, we see their commitment, their call, and there in verses 3, 4, and 5, back in Acts chapter 13, please, let's read. Acts chapter 13, verses 3 to 5, the Bible reads, "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed unto Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. And they had also John to their ministry." So what did the church do for the missionaries? Well, they fasted and prayed on their behalf. And I'm thankful that I'm part of a church that believes in fasting and praying. So rest assured, Brother James and family, that we will continue to fast and pray for you as you serve the Lord there in Mauritius. So we see that the church was actively involved in fasting and praying for these new missionaries. We also note here within these verses there is a formal identification. They laid their hands on them as a means of identifying picturing the anointing and blessing of God upon them for the work that God has called them to. And last but not least, pardon me, they sent them away. They sent them out. They sent them out to do what God has called them to do. See, God calls you and I to be faithful. God calls us to be diligent with what God has called us to do. And we note here in verse number 5 that God adds laborers. The Bible teaches us that God added John Mark to their team. Because Saul and Barnabas were willing to go, God gave them a laborer to help them for a season. Let's note verses 6 to 11 this morning. So far within this passage of Scripture, we see the commitment of Barnabas and Saul. We note their calling that was very personal. And we have some insight concerning their commissioning, how the church prayed for them, fasted for them, identified with them, laying hands on them, and then formally sent them out. And God in His grace provides a worker. And let's read on verse number 6. We note in verse number 6, and when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set their eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Note verse 11. And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. We see within verses 6 to 11 the battle, the combat, or the combats of the missionary. When you and I choose to do a work for God, rest assured the devil will turn up. In fact, the devil's already there. He's already at work there in Mauritius. He's already at work. We noted some examples of the stronghold of Hinduism that prevails. So within Hinduism, there's idolatry. Wherever you have idolatry, you have demonic activity. Mark my words. Wherever you have idols, you have demons. Demons and idols are first cousins. That's how it works. And we see that Paul and Barnabas, as they served God on the island of Cyprus, they went from one end to the other end. The devil was not happy. And especially when there are individuals that have an interest in knowing the truth. And this gentleman by the name of Sergius Paulus was a man that desired to hear what Barnabas and Saul had to say. And my friend, as we preach Jesus Christ, the devil will be active in opposing the work of God. And this is why we need to be in prayer for the Harrington family as they ministered there in Mauritius, because the devil isn't happy. He'll be at the airport wishing that the Harrington would change their mind and go home. But you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. And we need to be mindful of that, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But thank God, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. So as our dear missionaries go to the country of Mauritius to win men, women and children of Jesus Christ, the devil will be active. He will be actively opposing the work of God. And we see an example of that within this passage of Scripture. But note what took place in verse number 11, that Saul, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, rebuked him. And as a result, this opposer of the truth was struck blind. And as a result, the Bible teaches us in verse number 12, we note, then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. When you and I choose to serve our God seriously, mark my words, there will be opposition. There will be challenges. And this is why we need to continue to pray for our missionaries, because they will experience opposition. Just like you and I, in serving the Lord, experience opposition. In some ways, more so for that missionary that leaves his comfort zone and goes into a new area to do a work for God. There will be opposition. And James and Cindy, I'd like to encourage you, don't neglect the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might stand against the wiles of the devil. And thanks be unto God that gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we read of that in verse number 12. We note a crown. A crown for Barnabas and Saul. The conversion of this gentleman. Because the Bible teaches us when he had seen what was done, he believed, being astonished, amazed at the doctrine of the Lord. This leader, this governor, this mayor of the island of Cyprus, a position of great authority and influence, humbled himself and received the gospel of Jesus Christ, was converted from the preaching of the Word of God. He believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. The crown of the missionary. In the midst of the battles, God will work. Note what Philippians chapter 4, 1 has to say. Philippians, please, chapter 4, verse number 1. The Apostle Paul, in referring to the believers there at Philippi, within the church at Philippi, note here in chapter 4, verse number 1, he said, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, note, my joy and what? Crown. My joy and crown. The Apostle Paul made reference to these believers as his source of joy and my crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. See, Galatians chapter 6 gives us an eternal principle. Galatians chapter 6, please. In verse 9 it reads, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So we see here in Acts chapter 13 the crown of the missionary. Soul saved for God's glory. And if you and I will serve God faithfully, God will give you and I as well crowns, crowns. And I trust and pray that you and I, as the new year stands before us, will determine as never before to serve the Lord. And even though there'll be struggles, there'll be combats, if we are faithful, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, we will be victorious. In the midst of the battles, God will work and souls will be saved. And this is our prayer for the Herrington family there in Mauritius. This is our prayer for all of our missionaries as they are faithful, serving God, preaching the Word of God. Note that this gentleman that was converted there on the island of Cyprus was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. It doesn't read he was amazed, astonished at the fact that this demon-possessed individual was struck blind. That wasn't his focus. What changed him was the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And beloved, you and I as Bible-believing Christians, we need to pull this sword out and use it for God's glory. Wave it around. It will do a work. The crowns of the missionary. So in conclusion this morning, in this commissioning service, church family, we need to get behind our missionaries. As they leave shortly to do what God has called them to do. But may I remind you and I that God has something for you to do. God has something for me to do. Let's not sit idle in 2023. Let's get involved. Let's serve the Lord. We don't know how long we've got. And if you're serious about serving God, on the 4th of February here at the church, from 9 to 1 in the afternoon, we'll have leadership training. We will provide training, teaching on how you can serve the Lord. So I'd like to challenge you. If you're serious about serving God, well, make that commitment. See, Barnabas and Saul were committed within their local church. And I'm sure you and I have a desire to win the world for Jesus Christ. But it begins with one. Winning one to Christ. And that involves you and I being committed and being involved in serving Christ. And we see that Barnabas and Saul, here in Acts chapter 13, were actively involved serving God in the local church. They weren't lone rangers doing their own thing, had their own little Mickey Mouse ministry on the side. No, they were part of a local church. They were members actively involved within a local church. And see, that's how God works, in and through the local church. And as you serve God within the church, God will lead you on. Oh, I wish we would all be called to the mission field. Wouldn't it be wonderful? There's plenty of walls back there. We can put plenty more mission boards up. And maybe God wants you to be the next one. But you need to be faithful in the little things. And then God will lead you to greater things. Let me close with Acts chapter 14, verses 26 to 28. We note the accountability to the church at Antioch. We read in Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 14, we have a record of Paul's first missionary journey. At the conclusion of this missionary trip, they return to their home church, the church at Antioch. And note him, verse 26 to 28, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come, they had gathered the church together, and they rehearsed, they reported all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. So we see the accountability factor here. The church recognizes the calling. The church sends the missionary out. That missionary has a point of accountability, a home base. And at the conclusion of this missionary trip, where souls were saved and New Testament churches were planted, Barnabas and Saul returned to their home church and rehearsed, shared with the church family, this is what God has done. And glory be to God. So I'd like to encourage you this morning, as we have had the privilege of being a part of a commissioning service, a commissioning service for a missionary family, to get involved and serve God in 2023. Get involved and serve God in 2023. Let's bow for prayer.